I feel like the tax man on payday. Walt Disney and Boyd, they both taught us that you need to dream. We begin dreaming as children. A child without a dream is like a songbird without a song. We need our dreams as children to grow and strive and reach and quest. We need our dreams as adults to carry on. Our dreams draw us into the future with hope, and to use John F. Kennedy's word, with vigor. Vigor. When we're children, we're magical thinkers, and we tend to think in terms of the perfect. I will grow up and be the perfect astronaut like Neil Armstrong. I will grow into the perfect doctor like Marcus Welby, MD. The perfect mother like Carol Brady of the Brady Bunch. The perfect priest like Bing Crosby. There was a poster at my seminary that had a priest standing there outside of church in his vestments, and he had his hand on the shoulder of the father, and the mother was standing there, and they had their two children, and he had his arm around one of the children. It was a perfect little picture of the priest and the family, the parish. And underneath that picture were the words loving, strong, and wise. And I used to, when I went by the picture, would add responsible. Yes. The perfect priest was embodied in the imperfect Tom, who could only be perfect in the vacuum of my dream. From the distance of a dream, the priesthood looked idyllic. Father singing, going my way, like Bing. Parishioners with easy problems to solve. Cooperative and enthusiastic teenagers like Mickey Rooney, wanting to have a show. A housekeeper that was both sweet and a good cook. People dying only in extreme old age. Father Andy with a parish in Mayberry. That was my dream. Who dreamed the impossible dream? Then life intervened. The first day in the parish, I went to the nursing home. It was my first day as a priest. First assignment, go to the nursing home. And my pastor, who did not see me as loving, strong, wise, and responsible, called after me, "Well, you won't do much harm at the nursing home." Huh. So I got to the nursing home and I met my first person. She was lying in bed. I said, "I'm Father Tom." She told me her name. I was new to the parish. I said, "I'm going to talk about the Trinity." She kind of smiled and kind of didn't. And I turned around to get a chair and then put the chair at the end of the bed and sat down and started to talk about the Trinity. How it was one thing, three parts, three functions, one God. An amazing thing, the Trinity. It was wonderful. And as I talked, her eyes were wide. But I noticed that she was just a little bit too still. And her eyes didn't blink. And after a few minutes talking about the Trinity, I realized that she was dead. Went to get the nurse. I blessed her body. Went home to tell my pastor, and word got around the parish. Yeah, a father loving, strong, and wise, and responsible comes to visit you, and you just might not make it. He might talk you to death. So there's a limit to every dream. Walt didn't tell us that. Sometimes the champion runner stumbles. The cancer isn't cured. The comedian forgets the punchline. The marriage is over. The election is lost. Yet in that moment, when my dream is broken, is God's opportunity. My calamity is God's opportunity. And at that point, I say, all right, God, my dream has failed. Any ideas? And the Spirit peeks through and says, here I am. Love others as I have loved you. That's Jesus on the cross, the Prince of Peace, the light of the world, the Savior of humankind, now presides over a world that has turned against him. It seems Jesus has failed. No peace, Prince. No light, Jesus. Savior of the world? You can't even save yourself. In his brokenness, his soul cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? And the Savior's dreams are in tatters nailed to a tree. But failure, again, is opportunity. It's an opportunity to surrender. And Jesus turns towards those responsible for his crucifixion and asks the Father, forgive them, they know not what they do. It is now the Father's dream of forgiveness for Jesus to dream. And that dream will come true in the resurrection. For several years, I was in a practice with all women. And these women were very, very neat. You remember in the third grade when the girls' desks looked like little gardens of notebooks and crayons and rulers and protractors with each little textbook in its place? And the boys' desks looked like little dumpsters. At least this little boy's desk looked like a little dumpster. Organization-wise, I haven't gotten much further than the third grade. Well, at this practice I was in, we had a little kitchen. And I neglected to clean up the kitchen area one day. And one of my usually sweet colleagues never said a cross word to me except at this moment. She came up and she said, Tom, you are irresponsible. And I said, me? thinking to myself, loving, strong, wise, responsible. Me, irresponsible. Well, maybe I messed up, but still, God forgives me, I'm sure. It's me that hasn't forgiven myself, I guess. But I was enraged, I was broken. My dream of myself was in pieces, all over one word, irresponsible. So I went home and I told my wife what had happened. And Kathy said, well, you keep our kitchen pretty clean. You're responsible enough for me. And I said, responsible enough? Not perfectly responsible? She said, no, if you were perfectly responsible, you'd be OCD. And besides, who are you going to believe? Your colleague at work who doesn't love you, or me, your wife, who does? Forgive yourself for being imperfect, Tom. It's time. Finally, the dream we have of ourselves, that which I must be at all costs, will fail. Life does not end with a bang, usually. It ends with a whimper. The dream of ourselves will literally get old. And at that moment, You see, I'm making mistakes when I get right to the point. We may need to pray a new prayer. And that prayer is, Lord, what is your dream of me? Now, you know, we love God. That's easy to say, isn't it? It's good to get, it's easy to get consensus on that. We all love God, right? Head nods head, heads nod. But do we trust him? Oh, I don't know about that. Well, we actually do trust him. Everything trusts him. The acorn trusts love, grows into an enormous oak. The tadpole trusts love, grows into the comedy of a frog. Each one of us trusted love when we were coming in. I can do it. We were just like Boyd. I could dream the impossible dream. No matter what, all of heaven applauded. You can do it. And we did it. We're here. In this twist of comedy and tragedy and laughter and tears and good and bad, we made it. The purpose of life, I think, is not for your dreams to come true. It's not for us to get what we want. It's to love each other, no matter the circumstances. It's just like the wedding vows, for richer, for poorer, in good times and in bad, for better, for worse. We will love each other. So what does love mean in every circumstance? What does love mean in Syria? What does love mean when you have ALS? Ask Charlie Bowen. He's loving as we speak. What does love mean in a life more defined by endurance than achievement? And what does love mean when you're forgotten? I believe God's dream for us is extremely challenging. First, in that it asks us to allow our little dream of me, based on need and fear and craving, to wither and die. Out of the ashes of that dying dream, we will allow for a new dream to form around our souls. This dream has no limit, and anyone can participate. So imagine a picture God paints of you. This time, God is doing the dreaming. In this picture, you're holding hands with other church members, and you are singing, "Let peace begin with me." And at the bottom of the picture, there are not three words or four. There's only one word. And that word is beloved. And beloved is forever and without limits. And I assure you, it is not impossible. Let's meditate. Feet on the floor. Head in the clouds. God is dreaming of you. He knows you better than anyone on earth. You say, well, is it a he or a she? Is it an it or an and? It's God. All of those things, a he, a she, an it, an and. This God, dreaming of you. No demands. No virtues required. No dreams needing to come true. Simply his dream of one who is beloved. No matter what we do or don't do, no matter what we say or fail to say, we are beloved. And I might add, courageous. We came to earth to show love with everyone. We get stuck now and then, but then we smile and soften and allow our love to spread like sunlight on a summer morning. And in that silence of love, we know ourselves. Now come back, gently, from this place where love is all there is, to this earthly place where there is both love and fear, compassion and coldness, laughter and tears. This dear place, this dear earth, where we are needed so badly. Where our smiles, our bright eyes, our positive words make an enormous difference. So that everyone can listen to the dream that love itself has of them.